Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up, Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Amin Alhassan will stop by at 1040. We'll talk some NBA with him. We'll talk about The Last Dance with him. One of the newest members of the Rams, perhaps your new starting running back. We'll have to wait and see what unfolds there. But Cam Akers, their first pick in this particular draft in the second round, is going to join us. And then maybe Kirk Morrison, if he can get away from the Morrison School of Higher Learning over there with the Morrison family. We may try to recap the draft with him. But this segment brought to us by our friends at Straight Talk Wireless. You know, it runs on the same networks, man, while saving you up to 50%. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month. No contract, Straight Talk Wireless. No compromise, no contract. So here's the deal, man. I want to start with the draft, and then I'm going to work my way into the documentary. Now, Bergman, I'm going to bring you in early today because you and I had a text exchange because you did not like the Rams picks in the second round. I want you to explain to our very loyal audience why you, Raider boy, and I'm going to preface it by saying that. Here we go. I'm going to mess with the witnesses already. All right. I'm messing with the jury pool as we speak already. Why Raider boy was so down on the Rams' second round picks?
So the only reason that I'm so down on is because they went with skill position players right off the bat. I think that they have, and especially with a wide receiver going after Van Jefferson, I totally understand. And my computer's making noises. I'm sorry. They went after going after a wide receiver. Wide receiver is one of the positions that they are decent at, and I really wanted them to go after either defense, which is had a lot of hits to it, or the offensive line, because the offensive line is the most important part, and it really makes for a difference for Jared Goff to be able to get the ball off instead of him running for his life on every single play. If he wants to get the ball out to the running back that they drafted in Cam Akers, or Van Jefferson in the wide receiver, and then tight ends in the third round, it just didn't make sense to go with offensive skill players that early.
Okay, here's what I would tell you. I would tell you that the offensive line, the last four of the last five games, played really well, I thought. And when you look at them, just look at the numbers. They won three out of their last five games when they were actually healthy on the offensive line, because they weren't very healthy to begin with for most of that season. And basically, they were a possession away from beating the Niners in that same stretch of those last five games. They had over 400 yards in pretty much every one of those games except the Cowboys game where they got blown out. And they averaged 120 yards on the ground. Like, I don't think that their offensive line, as long as they're relatively healthy, is as big a problem as you're making it out to be. They were catastrophically unhealthy last year.
Well, that's part of the issue right there, right? Is because when they went into last season, they were too deep. That's it. They had the starters and then backups for every position on the offensive line, and that was it. And so you weren't allowing for any type of injury. And they're in that same situation now. They had to bring guys up from the practice squad over and over again, and now you're going into another season, unless they make some other moves, with that exact same problem. You can't afford health.
Greg, let me explain something to you. If you look up and down the rosters in the National Football League, okay, and now you know I'm getting serious when I'm calling it the National Football League as opposed to the NFL. When you look across the rosters of the National Football League, I would say a very large percentage of them, if you look at their second and third tier offensive line, it's not household names by any stretch of the imagination, and most of them aren't even high draft picks. So you have to understand that that is the way of the NFL. That isn't just a Rams problem. That's everybody's problem. And it's why the sport is, in a lot of ways, a battle of attrition. The one thing the Rams are trying to prove to people this season is that they're going to score. They're going to try to score and score a lot and score in a lot of different ways. And they seem to believe that their offensive line, and we'll see how this bears out if we have a season and if it gets to that point, that their offensive line, as long as they stay healthy, will be just fine.
I just felt like they had more needs in other places. And it was fine. If you want to go with that route of the offensive line, which I still don't agree with, I go defense then? You lost so much on your defensive side, especially in the middle linebacker position, and to not really get one. I don't even think that they did take a linebacker and an offensive lineman in the seventh round. Besides that, it was mostly offensive skill positions.
Okay, that's fine, but they feel comfortable with the guys that they have, and maybe you don't because they're not household names. But again, until
it's not about
you...
the name, it's not about the household name.
Okay, then what is it about?
It's
because you're not
depth.
You don't do you know the depth chart? Like, do you know if those guys are any good? Because I'm not going to sit here and claim that I know they're good or I know they're bad.
No, but I know that when they were the 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, they had depth on the offensive line. They stayed healthy throughout, and it wasn't so it didn't matter. I don't think anybody went. I think they had one game of injury total on the offensive line 2 years ago. But besides that, they still had depth there. And so this last year when they didn't make the playoffs, they didn't have depth and they got injured a ton. And now guys like Andrew Whitworth are, what, 37, 38 years old, starting to get up there in age. It just, I feel like having depth in the main positions, like in the, how often do you hear you win in the trenches? That's how I feel like football
sure,
is
I think you
played.
Do win in the trenches, but I think you, again, are missing the point that they were good at the end of last season in the trenches. They weren't, that wasn't an issue.
They got healthy at the end of the year, but if they were healthy throughout the year or had more depth,
oh my God, Greg, who cares? Like, you're not going to be healthy all the time. And by the way,
that's what the depth is for.
I get it, but you don't know about their depth. Is my point? Do you know if Chandler Brewer is any good?
No, I have no idea who that is.
You have no idea, right? Do you know if Joe Noteboom is good?
Joe Noteboom was there. He played okay at first. He was bad at first, and then he got better towards the end
right.
of the year.
Right, and he's one of their backups, and he got better, you just said. Do you know if David Edwards is any good?
No, look, it has nothing
How about
to do
Bobby
with...
Evans?
Are you just trying to
a
make...
A third-round pick last year.
Right. Okay, fine. I don't know how he is
but
on
that's
the offensive
that's how you build depth along the offensive line is what I've told you. You look at historically, okay? Go look at all these teams in the league right now. Go look at any of their depth charts. For the most part, all their backups are middle round picks, and that's what the Rams' backup offensive line is. So that's why this notion that they're in dire straits because they didn't draft an offensive lineman seems absurd to me.
Who's ever said dire straits? You put the word dire straits in my mouth. I didn't say. I just said you asked me if I liked their draft, and I said no because I wanted more on the offense, more depth on the offensive line, and more positionality on the defense, and you're telling me that I'm putting him in dire straits. That was never a thing that was even said.
You just said they weren't good on the offensive line, though.
They were not good on the offensive line last year.
They weren't until the last five when they were healthy.
Yes, but they didn't have this is crazy to me that we're having this the discussion like this. There's no dire straits. I don't think they're in this major panic. I just would have liked them to fill those needs more so than going after more offensive skill positions when they have a lot of that already.
Who's smarter at football? You or Sean McVay?
Sean McVay is much smarter than
Thank
me
you.
At football. I'm not saying jeez. This was a frustrating conversation. Go ahead.
Keep Good.
Going.
That was the whole point of it.
you could?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm great now. I like hearing you get frustrated. I do. I like hearing you get frustrated because I think you're making something out of nothing. Like maybe the linebacker thing, okay, maybe. But again, man, like they've got a new defensive coordinator with a new system. And I just think that you don't know how players are going to play within the constructs of how they want to play. Like that's my point. Like none of us know. You don't know if any of these draft picks are going to be any good for 3 years.
No, of course not. Here's the thing. Like the Patriots, I looked at their 2019. They were three deep at every position, and that is a team that usually has a good offensive line, and they build around that.
The Patriots were a disaster on the offensive line last year.
They weren't all that great last year, but it was
yeah, yeah. Oh, all that depth, right? Really helped them.
Usually they are, and like it's just with the teams that are good have good offensive lines, and the teams. It's all about stop. What it is for Jared Goff to be able to have some time back there. He all had right. time 2 years ago.
Let's move on to your team, the Raiders. Why are they trying to run a track meet? Why?
Why are they trying? I actually liked what they were doing. They actually went after.
Oh, shocker. You like what they're doing.
No, because they went after their positions of need. They went after what they actually
need. Need is overrated.
No.
Draft the best player on your
That's
board.
That's the whole point of the draft. Mm-hmm. The whole point of the draft is to go.
No, it's not. Draft the most talent you can. That's my position on all of it.
They needed offensive skill positions. They needed a wide receiver, and they needed cornerback safety. They went after defensive backs. They went after wide receivers. That was what they really needed. They have a good defensive line. They have a good offensive line. They have a good running back. I like their quarterback, even though we'll see where he does this year. The positions that otherwise they went after what they were looking for. I was fine with their draft.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. Should you draft for need or should you take the best player available? Like, if you had to choose one direction, I feel like you always take the best player available, figure out the talent later. That, to me, is the way I would do it, regardless of sport, but particularly when it comes to football. You can't have enough talented guys. And by the way, you can always trade talented guys. That, to me, is the way you accumulate the best possibilities, is accumulate the most talent and figure it out. Figure it out whether it's on your own roster or figure it out whether it's giving someone an opportunity to acquire said player for said draft pick moving forward. The Chargers. I mean, I thought they did fine. I like the kid they traded up for, the linebacker. We kind of touched on it briefly the other day. I think the rest of their draft was fine. They took your kid from Joshua Kelly from UCLA. They already have a good running game, so I'm not really worried about that necessarily. But I do think that he's actually a pretty decent player and be a nice backup running back.
Yeah, Josh Kelly's going to fit in really well there. I mean, they did lose Gordon, so
right.
You know, put in there at the third round pick. I thought that was a great spot for Kelly to go. I'm happy again with the Chargers. I thought they drafted well too. They did a good job.
Yeah, I'm fine with the Chargers. Like I'm fine with the Rams. I'm actually fine with the Raiders. I told you the other day that I felt like they actually have done, at least through one season with Mayock or two seasons with Mayock and Gruden, a pretty decent job of player development. So I'm curious to see how that works itself out moving forward. You're not going to hit on everybody. That's not the reality of the draft. But I just think that ultimately, I would prefer you draft the best talent on the board. And maybe they think Henry Ruggs is a better talent than Jerry Jeudy. I know Key doesn't necessarily think that that matters. I would disagree with that. But only time will tell when it comes to that stuff. But speaking of time, we've got some times for you on our guests, as I mentioned. Amin is going to join us at 10:40. I want to talk Last Dance with him because Last Dance, we'll get into it a little further on the other side, but what was your biggest takeaway from the Last Dance? Because to me, it's all about Dennis Rodman. Like, Dennis Rodman was by far the most interesting thing on my screen yesterday. And there were a lot of interesting things, including Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan clearly hating each other still.
Yeah, I love that part of it, by the way. And people were making this big deal out of it. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I can understand why Jordan would hate Isaiah Thomas after all of that. But look, you were going – when Jordan was shaking hands with Isaiah Thomas, he was going up. He was trying to beat the better team, whereas Isaiah and them lost to what they figured. They just went to the NBA championship 2 years in a row and won. And so now this year, the next year they lose, they're off the floor. I didn't have that much of a problem with it. I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
I thought it was made a much bigger deal because Michael is petty. And that's the reality. And that's the part of this story that, as great as he looks in some cases, he's very petty and he's very self-centered and he's narcissistic. And that's all the stuff that also made him great. Like, I think that's part of it. So I think it could be all those things. I'm not like a big Isaiah Thomas guy by any stretch of the imagination, but I also feel like Michael is petty. And clearly that continues to be the case. But he did create some great memes for the internet yesterday, which is fantastic, when they showed him the video of Isaiah saying what he was saying during the documentary.
Yeah, there was one where they cut it up into different moments. It was like when your ex-girl tries to get back with you, just like his face changing.
Yeah.
That was a really good one.
Let's go to the phones here real quick on need versus talent in the draft. Do you go for need or you best player available? Let's go to Mitch. Go ahead, Mitch. What do you got?
How are you doing, guys?
Good, buddy. Go ahead.
Great. I agree. You go for talent. I like what the Rams did, especially at running back, wide receiver. They didn't need to, but I felt that those are the best players for, like I said, but I wish they had taken a quarterback far, even signed Cam Newton, but I believe the Patriots signed Cam. That's the only thing I thought was missing.
Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate it. No, I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback. I mean, I don't know about that. Like, I don't feel like that's a position of need necessarily, nor I don't know what Cam's talent level is at this point coming off all those injuries. Like, I'd rather see Cam go somewhere where he can just kind of ease back in. And then that way, maybe in two seasons, all of a sudden he can explode again. I just think his body needs rest. Tony in LA. What's up, Tony?
Hey, George, what's going on?
What's up?
Hey, what do you think about our Dolphins, man? Tua, Austin Jackson, Noah in the first round. Got Curtis Jackson out of Boise State off the edge. I think we had a great draft.
Tony, do you remember the movie Jerry Maguire?
Yes.
Do you remember when he came in the room to apologize to Renee Zellweger, and then she stopped him in the middle and she said, "You had me at hello"? They had me at Tua. That's it.
Yeah. No, it was a great draft for picking up guys. The future is bright. Stay good, George.
So real quick, talent or need, what are you taking? He dropped. Gil, real quick. Gil, before I go to break, we'll take some more calls on the other side. Gil, what do you got?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, George, I like how you took Greg to school. I know he hates the Rams, so he's going to say everything he can to say.
He does hate the Rams. I think so, too.
I hate the Rams.
But you schooled them. But you schooled them, George. I mean, the Rams drafted the last 2 years. They drafted these offensive linemen that are ready to take over for the next couple years. So this draft, hey, they went for not only for needs, but also depth. You know, they went for playmakers. I think they got a steal in Jamal Lewis. I like that Jefferson wide receiver, and I also like Akers as a running back. I think they're going to be two starters, and that steal of the draft is going to be Terrell Lewis, the outside linebacker from Alabama.
Yep.
So how do you like them apples, George?
I love them. Give me those apples. Take the L, Greg. They did draft a ton of offensive linemen last year. He's right.
He did. They did, which is good, but look. All right. I'm not doing this again. Go ahead.
It's not all year to year. You're focusing on the micro.
I get that.
It's the macro.
When you
it's how the pieces
playoffs,
fit together.
You're absolutely correct. It is about the macro. It is not about the micro.
And why do you hate the Rams?
We're not doing this. Don't do the Mason Ireland thing to me where you start trying to make me
Laura,
hate the
does it
Rams.
Sound like he hates the Rams?
It does. It really And I don't understand why.
Yeah, I don't
because
get it.
Because you guys make me sound like I hate the Rams. I like the players. Cam Akers is a good player. Van Jefferson is a good wide receiver. What they drafted are good players. That's fine.
Who do you hate, Greg?
I hate USC. I hate the
Clippers. No, you messed that up. You should have said, I hate you, and then I would have gone to break. Dummy.
I hate you.
Take more of your calls on the draft. Would you draft for need or best talent available? We'll continue the discussion on that. Plus, there's some news on the NBA and more on The Last Dance next. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Quote, home insurance, or quoting home insurance, just got easier with Progressive Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy online at progressive.com. So we put up a poll that you can vote on ESPN Los Angeles. We got a couple things up on ESPN Los Angeles today. Should you draft for need or should you take the best player available? I actually made a mistake. I voted draft for need when I was literally advocating for take the best player available during the entire last segment. So I made a mistake by clicking on the wrong thing. However, take the best player is leading right now, 59.6% of the vote. You can vote at ESPN Los Angeles. And Monarch Grizzly adds to our conversation, Greg. Jerry West always said you take the best player available. End of debate. Are you going to argue with Jerry West? Because I'm not.
I'm not going to argue NBA with Jerry West at all. No, absolutely not.
Okay. You shouldn't argue, period, with Jerry West.
No, I wouldn't argue with Jerry West anyway.
Also, Number Mania today. We have number 30 up right now at ESPN Los Angeles. Who is the best LA player to wear the number 30? We have Dave Roberts, who is the skipper, Todd Gurley, Nolan Ryan, or other, and Nolan Ryan running away with it right now with 62% of the vote, but only 100 votes, so it's easy to catch up on.
Yes, and also I missed one because I was going quickly this morning. I missed Maury Wills, and Maury Wills should have been definitely on that list.
I mean, really, Greg? It feels like every day you're missing somebody, though.
You know,
what is going on today, Greg? Explain to me what's happening with you on a Monday today.
No, Mondays are just days that kind of throw me off a little bit because I have my daughter on the weekend and I have to drop her off in the morning with her mother at early in the morning on Monday. And then I have to get back here and do everything, get ready for the show.
Right.
And I just it takes the time off and it throws everything off. So I'm okay. But then to start off the show with you just destroying me over naming offensive linemen that you have no idea who they are either.
I know they drafted them last year, though. So, you know, they got a year under their belt, a year, in the system. Like, they can be better.
So why are you taking everything out on me right now? What is it that's going on with
you? Oh, my air conditioning broke this morning. So it was I had somebody here at 7 in the morning dealing with that. It's just, you know, I mean, it works now, but it was just a huge pain in the ass. But it's fine. But I also am doing it because I know you seem to be frazzled this morning. And I am a jerk. And when I notice that you're frazzled, I'm the kid when I was growing up. And it's funny because I wasn't like this as a little kid. It was probably somewhere like around fourth or fifth grade I became this kid. Really junior high is why I became a jerk. I almost cursed there. It's probably junior high is where I became the kid where if I saw one of my friends was just having a rough day, I just like would poke the hole a little bit, you know, poke the bear a little bit and just to see if he'd crack so I can laugh.
Geez.
I feel like with you, it's very easy to do that at times.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, yes, it is pretty easy to do that to me. I'm not going to deny that. But you're just that annoying kid. Like, everybody has that friend that just annoys the hell out of them all the time. And that was you. That was you.
But I am also the friend that when you need to be bailed out, I will bail you out. So there was a give and take with that. Yes, I'm a jerk, but I'm also a nice person. I'm a nice jerk.
Okay, see, that's what you, at least you have that nice side. The other, most of the time you have that friend who's a jerk, but he's always a jerk.
Right, I'm the guy you call at, you know, I'm the guy that when my, like if I were home for some reason at 1 or 2 in the morning in high school or college and my buddies were like, bro, we're too wasted, man, we can't get in the car. My ass would drag up and go and pick them up. So I, as much of a jerk, now I'd give them all sorts of grief for it after the fact. But I still would do it. So,
yeah, I definitely see that out of you still now
so
to this day.
Is it okay? Here's another poll question. Is it okay to be a jerk if you're nice most of the time?
Yes.
What do you say, Laura?
I don't know.
How about this? Is it okay to be a playful jerk occasionally if you're nice most of the time?
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it.
Playful is good. I think that was the key word there.
Playful jerk.
All right, hold on. But you're saying occasionally. This isn't occasionally.
Okay, mostly. Is it okay to be a playful jerk if you're nice most, if you're mostly nice?
Fair.
There you go.
There you go.
So, so anyway. All right. Let's move on to the NBA. There's news out of the NBA. Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj dropped a bomb yesterday. A Woj bomb about the NBA and their decision to reopen facilities. Now, I actually think that even though some people are proceeding with caution when it comes to this particular conversation, I have a very strong opinion about it. But let's hear Woj first on his report.
Part of the reason is, as you just detailed, those states reopening on a limited basis. There was a call on Thursday with the league's general managers and the league office. Adam Silver was on that call, and he heard some of his general managers talking about players calling their teams and their front offices and saying to them, should I get on a plane and go to Georgia or go to a state that's opening up so I can get legally into a gym? And I think for most teams, certainly for all teams, they would prefer that a player would be in one of their own facilities, which they can keep clean, that they can keep much safer, you know, than a public, you know, fitness center. And they wanted to avoid players doing that. And that was part of it here. But the harder part, Hannah, is going to be markets where players and organizations are not going to be able to go into their own facilities. I was told the league used the term, you know, alternate plans, that they'll work with those teams for alternate arrangements, I should say. And what that's going to look like is going to be really, I think, a complex rollout here over the next couple weeks for the league and for teams.
Yeah, look, I do agree with him that it's complex because of the state-by-state situation. And I understand the NBA is doing this because, you know what, they just don't want guys to randomly be going to gyms or whatever and working out, because we've already documented where even guys like Giannis don't have the availability of having a hoop to play with in their own house, which is kind of crazy. Like, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, like, how the hell didn't you just send him one? But anyway, the point being, I think, and you've heard me and Ramona say this, I believe that we are closer and closer to getting basketball back. And there are other reasons for that, even just beyond sports and this opening of facilities. Because remember when we were talking about, and I'll do the basketball part first, and then I'll do the other stuff. Remember when Brian Windhorst and all these guys were on the show and we were talking about what needs to happen and what the timeline would be for the league to get back and headed in the right direction?
the first thing was going to be individual workouts, right? And that's what this would allow. Once the state allows certain facilities to be open, and if I had to guess, I think we're on that track within the next month here in California, based on the modeling, I think that if that happens, you're going to have the ability to have guys do individual workouts, which means then we'd be a step closer to doing group workouts and a training camp. And the other thing that has me kind of feeling good about this situation and positive still is that as of maybe, I don't know, a little over a week ago, we were only administering in this country about 150,000 tests a day. And we're at about 300,000 right now. The magic number, according to the experts, is 500,000 a day. When we get there, then we can really, as a country, start talking about loosening up some of the restrictions. And we've made a pretty big leap already. And I think that we'll probably make some more leaps here over the next several weeks. So because all of this stuff is happening at the same time, I feel good about this particular direction. So call me an optimist, whatever you want. I feel like we are one step closer, even though I know Woj was cautious in saying that this isn't imminent, that the NBA is returning. I feel like this is the first step of us potentially getting sports back and maybe a slice of normalcy in dealing with this awful, awful pandemic. All right, coming up next, Dennis Rodman stole the show yesterday, right, when it came to the Last Dance documentary. I've got a better Dennis Rodman story than anything that was on there yesterday. I'll explain what that was. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Amino Hassan will join us in 10 minutes. Cam Akers, the newest member of your Los Angeles Rams, running back taken in the second round out of Florida State, is going to stop by at 11. This segment brought to us by our friends at My Computer Career, training for a better life. So, The Last Dance yesterday, Dennis Rodman stole the show, right? Everyone's talking about his 48 hours that turned into more than 48 hours in Vegas. And, you know, Michael Jordan going to Chicago and he was in the room with Carmen Electra and, you know, knocking on the door and she's hiding under the covers or whatever. But I have a better Dennis Rodman story than anyone, maybe in the media at least. And if you want to do yourself a favor, just Google my name and Dennis Rodman. And you can either look up the stories that are there on Google. There's some audio there attached. I once interviewed Dennis Rodman. Well, here's the thing. This is how this worked. So I'm going to explain the story. Because I'm just going to read you the headline, okay, in one of the stories for, let's say, the Huffington Post. Actually, I won't read that one. Basically, he was getting pleasured in the middle of a radio interview with me. He was on the phone and I was in a studio. And the way this worked was this. I was hosting a morning show back then. I was living in Miami. And that's when LeBron and Wade and Bosch were there. And it was like 6 something in the morning, right? So it's like the first hour of the show. So we're talking about whatever game or whatever had happened or whatever. And all of a sudden, my producer says to me, Dennis Rodman's on the phone. And I said, get out of here, Dennis Rodman's on the phone. And I knew he had a house in Miami, so I thought it was possible, but I didn't buy it. And he's like, I'm gonna test it out. And he's like, okay. So he starts asking him a million questions. He's like, he does sound like Dennis Rodman. And he figured out and confirmed with one of Dennis's associates that it was Dennis, right? One of his business associates. And he's like, yeah, he's calling. He's calling you. And he's like, okay. So we put him on the phone and he wanted to talk about LeBron. Like he said he wanted to talk about LeBron. So he's on talking about LeBron and how he's not, you know, I think it was something to do with LeBron isn't Michael or whatever. He had some sort of hot take. I don't even remember that part of it because it honestly wasn't the most memorable part by any stretch of the imagination. So all of a sudden I hear there's a girl in the background. And she grabs the phone and she's talking to us. And I was like, oh, what's your name and whatever. And she tells me what her name was. I don't remember what her name is now. And Dennis grabs the phone back from her and he's like, ah, whatever. Let's talk you and me about LeBron. And I said, well, Dennis, maybe we should talk to her instead. And he's like, no. And then all of a sudden, I heard a sound. And I heard him kind of like making like not, he wasn't, I would just say he was distracted is the best way I would describe it. And all of a sudden something triggered in my head and I said, dude, are you getting it on right now here on the radio? And he's like, oh, no, 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 that's not happening. And all of a sudden he says, she's just, I'm not going to use the word he said, she's just doing something. And he laughs, right? And he says, sorry, I'm sorry about that. And I said, and he said, you want to keep it clean, right? And I'm like, yeah. And I said, well, you know what? He's like, dude, I'm so in the mix right now. Because all of a sudden she started moaning. And I'm going like, what is happening here? So I said, Dennis, what are you talking to me for? If you've got this girl there, why did you even call me? And he just starts laughing. And then eventually we just let him go. And that is my Dennis Rodman story, which I feel like Bergman and Laura might be better than anything that was on that documentary yesterday.
That's an unbelievable story. See, when you originally said this, I figured that you called him. He was scheduled to come on the show. Mm-mm. And that it, everything. No, he called you while all that was happening. So,
he called me.
What is going on?
The backstory was he was trying to, originally he was going to call Howard Stern because his business manager at the time, for whatever reason, I don't know, wanted him to go on the radio in this state. They were, apparently him and the girl were partying the night before and it was 6 a.m. and they were just coming back from wherever they were partying. And he called Stern, but Stern wasn't on that day because, you know, Stern on Sirius XM is only on like twice a week live, right? You know, the rest of it is just replays from earlier in the week. He doesn't do live shows 5 days a week. So it so happened that the guy was like, well, let's just call George. And I was like, so I found that all out after the fact. But yeah, so basically, because Howard Stern was not available that day, I had this crazy encounter with Dennis Rodman over the phone.
Look, those are one of the greatest stories you're ever going to have. I mean, it's going to be tough to beat that story. I don't know if you can beat that story. That's pretty damn entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah.
Laura,
yeah.
What would you do? If you were the board op during all that, what would you do?
I would just be laughing. I mean, when he told us to Google it, I was expecting not that. For sure. I was like, and I pulled up the audio thinking, oh, it's like a quick interview, right? He's like, don't pull up the audio. He's like, find the story. I was like, oh, that's why.
Yeah, in 2010, yeah, it happened. And it was written up by everybody. TMZ, Huffington Post, you name it. It was everywhere. Even Barstool, a couple of months, maybe like a year ago, one of their guys, one of their top guys, KFC, did a whole post about it, about like the anniversary of it or something like that. And he just like shouted me out for the way I handled the whole thing. And
which, by the way, you did. You handled that really well to be like, are you getting it on? Like actually asking, calling him out in the middle of it.
Right. And and doing it in a way where it was still PG. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Like he, and keeping it as radio friendly as possible. Like we never had to dump him, despite what was happening. And
that's
because
shocking.
It was also a different time. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, like 2010, even though it feels like not that long ago, it was still 10 years ago. Times were different. And it didn't dawn on me. Once we realized and he confirmed he was on, we got him off the phone.
Thank you for clarifying.
Off the phone. That was a Freudian slip. And then we just got rid of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I was like, yo, we can't have him on, you know, God knows what's happening next. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we moved on very quickly from that Dennis Rodman interview after a few minutes where he called in to tell me he only wanted to talk about LeBron. It turned into a lot more. That's for sure.
Does Amin know about this story?
I don't know, but we'll ask Amin next and we'll get into The Last Dance next with Amin. Don't forget Cam Akers of the Rams, new member of the Rams. Newly drafted is what I meant to say of your Los Angeles Rams in the second round at 11 o'clock. So we got back-to-back guests. Amin joins us next. We're back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. If you missed any one of our interviews today or any day, you can check out the entire interview on demand section on the Sedano Show podcast brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average when Capital One can open, you can open a savings account with the rate of 5 times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagine. What's in your wallet? Capital One, N.A. member FDIC. And of course, tune into The Last Dance, a behind the scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific here on ESPN television. And of course, listen to the wrap up show with Sliwa and myself immediately following the broadcast presented by State Farm, AT&T, Cincoro Tequila, and our friends at Coors Light. Amino Hassan joins us now here, ESPN NBA front office insider, friend of the program. By the way, I was telling the story just now. I don't know if you and I have ever had this discussion, but have I ever told you about the Dennis Rodman interview I had?
No.
So no, you do you have access to the internet outside? Well, I guess you could always just put us on speaker, right, on your cell phone.
Yeah, no, I'm on the headphones, so I can absolutely look
through. Oh, okay. So just Google my name and Dennis Rodman and scroll down to what the headlines say, the articles say. I want your instant reaction as you are live on the radio. That's what I want to hear. So let me know when you're ready.
No, how do you confirm that? Can I read the headline?
I mean,
am I allowed to read that?
No, don't read that. Just basically accept. Okay, instead of the actual word, just use pleasured.
Okay, Dennis Rodman gets oral pleasure during radio interview.
Yes. Listen to the audio when you get a chance.
That's an educated guess. You can't confirm that.
It was an educated guess, but I feel like he confirmed it. During the interview.
I gotta look this one up after we're done, man.
yeah, it's not Disney friendly, so there's gonna be no replay here, that's for sure. But it was an interesting time. It's why I was joking with these guys, with Bergman and Laura, that I said, for as great as the documentary was yesterday, I have the best Dennis Rodman media story of all time.
I'm not gonna fight you on that one. That's I lay down my sword and say, I claim fealty to you, sir.
All right. So let's talk about The Last Dance. I felt like if you could have, and I saw this on Twitter yesterday, I wish I would have thought of it first, which was somebody put up yesterday, if you could have paid money to watch the 48 hours in Vegas, how much would you put up?
To watch? I want to be part of that, man.
Okay, or be part of it.
Carmen Electra in Vegas and Dennis is buying everything. Everything's on the house. Yeah, man. No, that's got to be one of the, I've lived a blessed life, George. I've been to some great parties and I've partied with some interesting people. I submit to you that probably nothing I did either comes close to those 48 hours of Dennis Rodman. That must have been the time. I mean, the best part of it, which I guess we still don't really know, is Michael Jordan saying, "I'm not going to describe what I saw in that room or in that bed." And we know that Carmen Electra was not in the bed; she was hiding in the closet because that's what she said. So, I mean, that's got to be like top five of all time, right? And I'm counting people like Alexander the Great and all the people who lived in more debaucherous times.
Yeah, no, listen, but none of that should be surprising, I think, is my point.
No, not surprising, but definitely, it is breathtaking to hear.
So when you watched the Rodman thing, was there anything you learned that maybe you weren't aware of? I mean, because look, they did their own 30 for 30 on Rodman, so
right.
I feel like there was some stuff there. I think the Phil relationship, the depths of that, I think were things I wasn't as familiar with.
So I was talking with Sarah Kustok and Zach Harper earlier on SiriusXM NBA Radio about this, about was the Dennis Rodman went to Vegas in the middle of the season, was that a known thing or is that something that was revealed last night? And I got to be honest, when you work in the business as long as we have, George, sometimes you hear stories so often you forget what was public and what wasn't. And so that's one of the ones. I knew Rodman had one of those things. I guess I always assumed that was public knowledge, and now that I think about it, like, no, I probably heard it from Steve Kerr or heard it from someone else who was around that time that, Dennis went and took off time. I think the story and then the accompanying video of how Phil Jackson handled Dennis Rodman's return, that's the new stuff, right? The idea that, hey, we're going to do this drill because we got to get Dennis back in shape because he's done terrible things to his body over the last 48 to 72 hours. And the reality is like, nope, he's still in better shape than probably pretty much anyone else in this gym. And that's a gym that includes Michael freaking Jordan. The other thing is also the idea that Jordan went to go get him. That part I didn't know. And so, you know, as I was telling my co-host earlier, just think about that. Think about Draymond Green went off on a bender in Vegas. Like, that would be news as it is, enough. But imagine if, on top of that story, Steph Curry had to get on a plane to fly to Vegas specifically to grab him out of that bender. That's mind-blowing right there.
Amin's joining us here on the Sedano Show. The other thing that stood out was clearly Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas still hate each other. But I'll ask you this. Is Michael just too petty? Because I'm not the biggest Isaiah or Detroit fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I almost feel like, dude, you made this a much bigger deal than it should have been.
Right. So I, full disclosure, obviously I work with Scottie Pippen. I know Scottie very well. We're friends. I also have worked for Isaiah Thomas. I know Isaiah very well, and I would consider us friends as well. And, you know, I know and worked with Steve Kerr, and I know and I worked with Rick Mahorn. Like, I know people on both sides of this thing.
So right.
I'm Switzerland. I'm neutral. Isaiah's got a point when he says, Larry Bird did it to us, and nobody ever brings it up. Larry Bird and Parrish and all those people that every sports writer in the 80s fawned over, they did it, and nobody said a word, right? On the other hand, when Isaiah says, that's just the way things were done back then, all right, now you're pushing a little. It did happen to you, yes. That wasn't common practice. Don't push it there. And from Michael's perspective, I think it was a combination of that happening to them, yes, and also the way Detroit physically beat them up. You know, it wasn't just beat them as far as winning. They were physically not playing basketball. They were just, hey, we're going to try and undercut them and do all these dirty things. And that was part of the strategy. I think that's what kind of really got under his skin. And also, he's just a psychopathic kind of competition-aholic, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
He holds grudges for decades and decades. And Michael Jordan probably is not very balanced mentally when it comes to these kind of topics.
Phil also, more Rodman than I expected. Like, I knew Phil was a hippie, but there were certain things there that I was like, oh, hey, all right, Phil, let's go.
Oh, no, that we all knew that. Oh, that stuff, man. That was not secret. Like, Phil doing acid in, like, the 70s, yes, that wasn't a secret. Phil being, like, incense and yoga and probably a healthy appreciation for marijuana. None of that was news to me. That was all. Yeah, that's Phil.
Let me ask you this. Michael Jordan loved Doug Collins. Do you think that they would have broken through with Doug Collins? Like, I'm not saying they win six championships. I don't know, but maybe they do. I don't know. What do you make of all of that? Like, because Doug Collins, clearly, when he was interviewed, still also doesn't love Phil Jackson, it seems like. You know what I'm saying? Like, when he said, in my second year, I thought Phil would be a head coach. Yeah. Or I don't know if he said the or a head coach.
He would be the head coach. And
the head coach.
And is it just a sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a sense.
But if I'm him, like, there's no way Doug Collins doesn't feel like he would have won those championships too as Michael broke through. Yes?
Well, I'm sure Mark Jackson feels the same way in Golden State. I'm sure Dwayne Casey feels the same way in Toronto, right? Like, it's not like it took years and years for them to break through after that. Like, almost all those cases, the very next year was a championship. And so if you're Doug, especially, like, here's the thing about Doug. You got to understand, head coach, come in. I didn't hire this dude to be my assistant coach, right? This was someone that the general manager told me I got to hire. And then, not only that, but this dude is buddy-buddy with the other dude the general manager hired, which is Tex Winter, who I don't necessarily, like, agree with a lot of his concepts, to the point where I banished him to kind of, like, scout work. So, of course, Doug Collins had a sense. Regardless of whether they won six championships or no championships, yeah, when the one guy that the general manager hired, not me, and put on my staff, is buddy-buddy with the other guy that the general manager hired that I didn't hire to put on my staff. And that's the guy that the general manager calls the smartest man in basketball, smartest mind in basketball, Tex Winter. Yeah, of course you're writing, the writing's on the wall. But you, one would think it would, if I'm going to let go, it's going to be after a disappointment or after we fall short or whatever, not kind of the success that they had. So I don't, not necessarily mad at Doug Collins being that way. Would they have still won? Maybe one or two, because Michael was just that special. But I think that, you know, what Phil Jackson said was the triangle wasn't for Michael. You run any system for Michael, he's going to do what he was going to do. The triangle was to make everybody else a threat. And Doug Collins' style clearly did not make everybody else a threat.
Fair enough. Okay. Real quick, I saw the report that there are going to be some facilities that are going to be open for individual workouts in the NBA. And I understand that the reports have said that nothing seems imminent. But I always felt like when we were discussing a timeline that individual workouts were going to be the first step, right? That players are going to have access to individual workouts before we can get to a point of group workouts. So maybe I'm just being overly positive, but I feel like that's a good step considering what we've been dealing with.
Yeah, George, this is one of those cases where the headline is not purposely misleading, but it can be misleading. The reason why they're allowing individual workouts at some facilities is because some states in this country have, whether you want to argue irresponsibly, decided, you know what, let's loosen up the social distancing stuff. Let's open up bowling alleys and barbershops because these are necessity things that people can't live without for whatever reason. And among those businesses are gyms. And so the league from the teams had players asking, does this mean I can go to like the 24-hour fitness or Lifetime, whatever, get my shots up because I don't have a basket in my house or in my apartment, which would shock a lot of people. Most players do not have basketball facilities in their wherever they live. They were getting a lot of questions about that. And then they were also getting a lot of questions about players saying, hey, our state isn't one of these states, but a nearby state or a neighboring state or a state where I may have a second residence is. For instance, a lot of players live in Atlanta in the off season. So, okay, California doesn't have it, but can I go to Georgia and then go to Lifetime Fitness down there and get shots up? And so the league wanted to get ahead of that and say, look, we can't entrust the cleanliness of these public facilities where any Tom, Dick, and Harry can go in and get workouts in. What we can do is say, if it's legal in your state, we'll open the practice facility, and then the players can go to that practice facility because they know an NBA practice facility, it's easier to regulate who's coming in and out, and it's easier to maintain a cleanliness standard. And that's all that is. It has nothing to do with a return to normalcy or anything like that. It's just literally trying to keep players in the safest possible position to continue to get their workouts in.
Okay, that's all fair. I still think that regardless, that would have to be the first step anyway. You're 100% right. Like, guys have to start getting in shape, though, if we're ever going to have a season. Granted, we don't know if we're going to get there, but this, I think, is at least maybe tangentially related as a good first step.
I would say it's a coincidental. Like, you're right. The first step into reopening this thing would be this, but that doesn't mean that process is starting now. This is
right.
Coincidentally. Some guys are going to be able to get to do this.
All right, I'm selling optimism. Go listen to my Rodman interview and get back to me later.
I will.
All right, see you later. There's Amin. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to the newest member of the Rams, 52nd pick overall in the second round, their first pick in this draft, Cam Akers, running back from Florida State. He joins us in 4 minutes.